It's for me a great privilege to have to be here, and always when I had a chance to see you face to face. For me, it's something in my heart that I enjoy to see you, you know? Well, one of the ministries that I enjoy in this church was to be in the front door, but now we don't have front door. So, we don't have front door, so. But Pastor and Ruben asked me to start teaching a Spanish Sunday school class. And so they had to remove me from the front door ministry. So, and that was for me great, because I had the opportunity to shake your hands every Sunday and every time that we are here at the church and say hello, give you a hug, and, you know. So that was for me amazing. And it's funny that Pastor and Brother Ruben asked me to start teaching the Sunday school class in Spanish. So the reason that my wife and I, we attended the American church is because we are missionaries and we work with Gospel Mission of South America. And we have missionaries preaching the word, doing church planting in South America, in Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay. Our missionaries, they have to learn Spanish to do their ministry there. And I had to learn English to do my job here. Well, I told my wife, so I don't want to be in the Spanish circle, and so I like to attend the American church. And this church was our first church in 10 years ago when we came from Argentina. But you know what? This church was so big for me. In Argentina, our churches, maybe we have 70 members, 50. When I saw this church and all these people here, so I was, and my English, it wasn't my language, so, and I quit. I told my wife, okay, we need to find another church. And we found another church, and we were working in another church, Baptist church, an American church too. But the Lord showed me when to come back. And when at a point, the Lord showed us that we need to leave that church. And we were praying with my wife, and we decide we will go to American church, we will go back to Plantation Baptist Church. The other way has to be a Spanish church. And the Lord led us to come back to Plantation. And that was when we found Pastor Hunter here. Pastor Lehman, he wasn't anymore, so. And that is the reason that we are here. Let me share with you why we are in the mission, why we came from Argentina to work in the mission. Where I was when all my comfort in Argentina. I had a good job. I was the boss for a tenant, a leather company, for more than 26 years. So I was comfortable. We have a house. We have a car. My wife, she doesn't need to work. So she has his comfort too, right? So, and the Lord took everything for us. He took my job, my car, and everything. And we asked the Lord, okay, what is that? So the Lord was calling us to be in the ministry. But the thing that when we were talking to come to the state, we were talking to come to the state to work. I was looking for a job in Michigan in a leather company. And everything was going very good, and I was happy here. I would have a good job. I had a lot of money in my pocket, so we'll be happy. But what happened? September 11. September 11 happened, and now what? And now what? And we never feel that the Lord closed the door for us. The Lord continued, open door. That thing, it was looking like that the Lord closed the door, but he was opening another door, you know? We had a missionary conference in our church in Argentina, And the speaker was the field director of the mission, and we know very well him. And he was talking with us, and he asked us, what would you do in the USA? Well, I'm looking for jobs. Can you consider to go back to the mission and work in the home office? So at that time, at that point, we started understanding why the Lord was open a door for us to come to the state. It was amazing, and I never thought that the Lord can use me for his glory. You know, I'm not a preacher. I was a businessman. I was a leather technician, and I'm not a preacher. So you can ask me, how you are not a preacher, how can you be a missionary? Good question. Good question. You know? But I will read you a verse in Isaiah 41. And I will show you for what reason we are here. It's Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. You have to follow me because, as you see, English is not my first language, so I can say something wrong. Don't laugh at me. Okay. Isaiah 41, 9 and 10 saying, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, on the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. That is the first reason that I'm here. I have chosen thee, that's the second reason, and not cast thee away. That is the third reason. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. For reason. Be no dismay, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea. I will help thee, yea. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is the reason that we are working with Gospel Mission South America, working in the home office, and for me it's a great privilege to have a ministry that we can do together with my wife. That is just that I wanted to introduce ourselves and try to explain you why we are working in Gospel Mission South America. Please, open your Bible in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, chapter 4. Before I start sharing my subject for tonight, let me read two or three verses of the New Testament. Philippians 1:27 said, only let your conversation be as it becoming the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of you, of your afraid, that ye stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 12:21 say, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have not need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have not need of you. Ephesians 4:16 say, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by the which every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I needed to read these verses to give you the subject for tonight. And it's working together to get the job done. When Pastor asked me to preach tonight, my answer was, well, I can preach. I'm not a pastor, but I can share what the God put in my heart. And I never knew the pastor will ask me to preach tonight. But I was working in this subject. I think it was around 8-9 months ago. I heard a pastor, a missionary from Germany in Greenville, South Carolina, preaching about Nehemiah chapter 4, about working all together. And that touched my heart. And I think that was the time that we were talking with pastor and the deacons about the project that you can see on the front of the church. You know? And as a deacon and pastor started preaching, praying for vision. And when we started working about the project, I didn't have the idea of the magnitude and how much we needed for that project. But when we started talking about the money, about the cost, and I was thinking, wow, how much money? And the Lord reminded me about his word here in Nehemiah chapter 4. That project is not a project of one person. It's not a pastor project. It's a project of the whole church. Right? We are all together. We are members of this church. It's our responsibility to go forward. Well, our text is Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had mind to work. The people had mind to work. The people had mind to work. This subject is a biblical truth that needs to be applied to all aspects of our daily life. Everywhere, in church, at home, our family, at job, at work. We learn from Romans 12:3-8 that as a Christian, we form a body in Christ. And as a body, we are member one another, and each member has a different gifts, and we need to use that gifts according to what we have been given. It can be preaching, teaching, encouraging, giving. You know what is your gift. Each one of us, we have it. At home, cooperating in the cleaning, upkeep, and care of our homes and property, the whole family doing chores together, and our family. It's very important taking time and interest in our family members and extended families for the well-doing of all. Like Pastor say, being a spiritual influence on your family. And the same thing is for us at church. What about our church family? Do we have the spiritual influence on our brethren? That is very important because each one of us, we need one another. at work, doing our best. We can, our daily, we can, as a Christian example, our testimony is very, very important. People are watching us. Remember the pastor gave a good example about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrews? The people are watching us. I don't like to give an example, a personal example, but years ago when my wife had a knee replacement and she has to go for the physical therapy, and I went every day with her. But the first day we were in the physical therapy office, and I went with my wife inside the room, and I was started helping my wife taking her shoes off. And the man told me, sir, if you want to wait for her, you can wait in the waiting room. Oh, okay. When I left the room, he told my wife, you can't see that anymore. Husband helping the wife taking the shoes. Oh, you don't see that today. You know? And that is a testimony. People are watching us. And the people see the difference because we have Christ, we have Jesus, we are saved people. We reflect the light, right? When I was in Argentina, we were to all my side, they are not believers. That is so sad for me because just when I came to the United States 6 months later, my dad passed away, he is not in heaven. So that is so sad for me. And neither my mom, my sister, they are not saved. They say everything, yes, 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 but never made decision for Christ. But we went to visit my sister, and she wrote a letter to my wife, and she, you know what, you are different. So you transmit peace to us. But that is not all. The sad thing is that they don't want it to make decision for Christ. You know, they do the most of the people do, reject Jesus. So that is sad, very, very sad for me. They are not believers. So how important is our testimony? I remember when I heard that one of our sister give it a track to another lady. Today is our sister in Christ, and she came to church because one of our sister at church, they giving a tract to them, invite her, and she came and she received the Lord. Oh, that is amazing. It's one of our members doing his part, her part. You know? So that is each one of us, we have something to do here. Right? Just an illustration. When you go to your doctor's office, he's not alone. There are a lot of people involved in his office. The secretary, the lab workers, person that cleans. They have a lot of people involved in his team. The same is as a sport team. A team that are involved, I can tell you about soccer, because I don't know nothing about the American sport, but I can tell you about South America. Soccer is a popular sport in Argentina, and we have some famous soccer player like Maradona. Did you hear something about Maradona years ago? We have another one. I don't want to see the last name because it's a little confused, but his name is Messi. it's Messi, yeah. Leopoldo Messi. They are really good. But they are popular because they make the difference in the score, you know? So, and always you hear their name. But it's not just one, it's the whole team. It's the whole team. It's the same thing here. Our pastor is not alone. It's our responsibility. Each us, we have a responsibility. And this church, as a team of this church. So much more can be accomplished when we learn to work together to get the job done. If we as a church are going to make a difference in our community, in our neighborhood, then we must learn to work together. Don't laugh at me, but I will try to read 4 verses in the book of Nehemiah. But the reason that I read is to try to see the plural pronouns in these 4 verses. It's in Nehemiah 2:17-20. Nehemiah 2:17-20. Then say I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gate thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is the thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. The thing that I want to try to remark is our side, we are talking in plural. But the thing that I found is that our enemy, they talk in plural too. And we will see in the ends. I will show you a verse in the ends to understand what I'm talking about. It is amazing how much can be accomplished when we don't care who gets the credit. And that happened to the team, right? I have 6 different points that I want to share with you tonight. And the first one is working together to get the job done, we must have a mind to pray. A mind to pray. Nehemiah 1 verses 3 and 4 say, and they say unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, there are in the province, are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gate thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard this word, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain day, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Bad news came from Jerusalem, and Nehemiah get word that things are really bad for his people that have returned to Jerusalem. Nehemiah's heart become heavy. His spirit becomes uneasy. He becomes troubled. So what does Nehemiah do? What do we do when we are tried, when we are tempted? We fret, worry? No. We must have a mind to pray. Nehemiah was troubled, but he didn't let it dominate him. He took his trouble to God. In another word, he turned his care into prayers. Philippians 4, 6, 7. Please, go to Philippians and follow me. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 say, Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The king of Persia, Artaxerxes, that was hard for me to pronounce, he was the second king of Persia, and Nehemiah was his cupbearer. It was a great job with a great responsibility and great influence in the life of the king. And the kings wanted to help Nehemiah. When Nehemiah heard about this issue, his face was different. When he was at the front of the king, he saw something wrong in Nehemiah, and he asked him, "What happened? What is wrong with you?" You know, and Nehemiah shared with him about his problem with his people in Jerusalem. And then Nehemiah, the king, was a good king with him, and he wanted to help Nehemiah and God's people. Not only the king gave the permission to go, we will find that he supplied with materials to get the job done. And as we see in verse 9, the king sent captains of the army and horses with him. So we can see that the king gave him permission, provision, and protection. But that is the main providing. And Nehemiah, he needed more than that. He needed more than that. One thing that the king couldn't give it to Nehemiah was something that we need the most, and often is a short supply. And we are talking about prayer. Nehemiah was the right man in the right place for God to use. He was a person with vision, and because he had vision, he had hope. Listen what Proverbs 29:18 say: where there is no vision, the people perish. Let me share with you what I found about the character of a person with vision. In Nehemiah 1:1-3, we can see that a visionary person sees the need. Look around you. A visionary, in verse 4, we can see that a visionary person feels the need. Look within you, your heart. And as a visionary person like Nehemiah, is a visionary prayer. He shared the need with God in prayer. He shared needs with God. Look above you. As a visionary prayer, he knew very well how to pray. First of all, he exalts God, verses 5. He admits sins, verse 6 and 7, 1, 6 and 7. He reviews truth. When I read it, he reviewed truth. And I was thinking, really, the Lord needs to remember him about his word? And it came in my mind. You see, when Pastor Hunter is praying, and he's praying, he's using God's word in his prayer. And you don't know if he's praying or he's preaching, you know? But how important. I remember the pastor said, he said, try to use biblical words when you pray. And that is an example that we find here in Nehemiah 2. And another thing in verse 9 that we find, in verse 11, he requests help. In a visionary prayer, he knew very well that the help will come from where? From the Lord. And I want to go to another place in the Bible is Psalm 121. That is my favorite psalm. I like this psalm. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, that the keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time for and even forevermore. I didn't find this verse in Nehemiah. I remember that verse when I wrote Nehemiah, know that the help will come for the Lord. And Psalm 121 came in my mind. Working together to get a job done, we must have a mind to expect opposition. Any word for God will be opposed. Don't be surprised. Expect it. Here, trying to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, the work, even before it began, was met with opposition. And we can find this in Nehemiah 2, 10, verses 10, 19, and 4, 7, and 8. Any word for God will be opposed because there are who do not want to see God's word accomplished. Those who oppose God and God's work are stumbling blocks. They hinder, halt, and hurt the progress of the church. Don't forget, sometimes the biggest obstacle we face is that one who we see in the mirror every day. Thinking about that. I need to die daily and seek to be a blessing to God's work and not one that hinder it. Attitude. Sometimes we just have a bad day, but we are still responsible for our attitude. I can choose to be angry, crabby, grumpy, but I'm still responsible for my attitude. Remember, choices always have consequences. Good choices, good consequences. Bad choices, bad consequences. Do the right choice in your life. A missionary shared with us a year ago in Greenville, South Carolina. He is a missionary in Germany. And when he went to Germany, the first call that he received was another missionary. And he asked him, why are you here? This was another missionary saying that he didn't want this new missionary in his town. How sad was that? He had opposition from his own side. Both was Baptist missionary. Working together to get the job done, we must have a mind to work. Verse 6 says, so build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had mind to work. We cannot afford to sit around and be lazy and doing nothing. God's work is too important, and eternal souls are at stake. Those who reject Christ, like my family in Argentina, and never experience the new births, will be eternally lost. We can see that in Nehemiah 2:17, how he encouraged the people to build the wall. Nehemiah, he had a project, and he involved his people in the project. Proverbs 16:3 said, "Commit the word unto the Lord, and thy thought shall be established." If we don't go, who will go? If we don't care, who will care? Nehemiah told them to stand up and fight for what was good and right for all of them. That is in Nehemiah 4:4. And he said to his people, fight for your brother, for your sister, for your wife, for your son, for your family, for your house. And that's getting my mind about the project. That project is not just for today, for tonight, for us. We are all here, but other people will come after us. I remember when I came here 10 years ago, and I can see just a few people that I found 10 years ago. Always we have new people that the Lord are adding more people at the church. People with family, with children. We have elder people that need it. And that is the need of this church today. Right? Working together to get the job done, we must have the mind to be like-minded. Philippians 2:2 say, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." To get God's word done, we have to work together and be like-minded. We have to be going the same way and helping each other and lifting each other up. I have an illustration here. An older couple was moving a sofa, and two strong men stopped to help them, and one of them was pushing, and the other was pulling. And one said, "We never will go inside the house." "Oh," answered the other man, "I thought they wanted to take out." So they were working all together, but in the different direction, different mind, right? God's work cannot be done if we don't care, if we disagree all the time, and if we have this car. Working together to get the job done, we must have a mind to love God and to love others. And will you remember what Pastor was teaching us last Wednesday? And he was talking about brotherly love. And he gave us a good example about Philemon, verse 5. Philemon was a man that he loved God and loved people. And that was an amazing example for us. Jesus, in Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we are to get the job done, we need to work together and have a mind to love God and to love others. Love God is easy to see, but really, do we love God? Really, do we love God? Here in Matthew 22:37, he commands us to do this. Love your neighbor. Who's your closest neighbor? Maybe your spouse, your family, your children. Hearing of thy love and faith, where thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Philemon, verse 5. What a great lesson we have here in Philemon 5, verse 5. And the last point is working together to get the job done. We must have a mind to be faithful. In Nehemiah 6:15-16, we can see that Nehemiah and his people, they finished the wall in 52 days. When I wrote that, I was thinking that it was a mistake. I couldn't believe that it was in 52 days. I think that I thought that it was, they wanted to say 52 weeks or 52 months, but no, it was in 52 days. You can find that in 6:6. Nehemiah and God, the people got the job done in record time because they worked together and they have a mind to pray, a mind to expect a position, a mind to work, a mind to be like-minded, a mind to love God and others, and finally, they had a mind to be faithful. They stayed with the staff. Nehemiah and his people were able to get the wall built in 52 days, and even more, the enemy had to acknowledge that it was the work of God. Right? Here is my question for tonight. Here is my question. Is God less powerful tonight in 2012 than was in Nehemiah's day? Thinking about that. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nehemiah faith sees beyond the boundaries of physical sight. Faith get a hold of God. Faith believes him, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. True faith believes in God. True faith believes in doing something for God, because God is always doing something for us. Here is the verse that I told you before, with our enemy is talking in plural too. We had to remember what Paul said in Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places. But we have to remember also what Paul said in Romans 8:37. And Paul said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Right? Let me finish with this verse, and we are done. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mine through Christ Jesus. Brother, that is the thing that the Lord put in my heart 8 months ago to share with you. I'm not a preacher. I am Christian like you. That the Lord put in my heart to share this message to you. God bless you.